first concert, and it's our privilege to have the Bible Evangelism Choraleers, and Dr. and Mrs. Jack Murray here with us tonight. Daughter Margaret is going to be playing at the piano, and Eleanor will be at the organ. As we turn in our programs, that blue program that you were given when you came in, turn right to the inside of it. You'll see at the bottom of the left-hand side of that page, there's a song there. It's a song entitled, My Redeemer. Let's stand and lift it up in song together.
Thank you. program tonight, or you can look upon one. And let me introduce the leadership of the Bible Choraleers, which is a musical arm of Bible evangelism. Mrs. Murray, who has been playing the piano all week, changed positions tonight. She's over at the organ, and a little while later she's coming to direct the Bible Choraleers. You'll find that on your program. And instead, we have a substitute. We have Mrs. Reinier. Mrs. Reinier is our youngest daughter, Margaret, and she is going to be at the piano and assist as a soloist. And also, we have narrator and soloist, Bill Keepus. He's called William here, but I know him real well. And you'll hear Bill, and many of you have heard him before if you listen to radio broadcasts. Our soloist, Kathy Fretz, is here in the Choraleers. You'll hear her sing. Our flutist is LaFay Britton, and her husband and family are way back there in the corner. Paul is a pastor of the Horsham Bible Church, and he usually sings, but he's not singing tonight, but LaFay is playing tonight. Then we have a duet. We have Bruce Musselman. He wasn't able to be with us last Saturday night, where we had a concert in Camden, but he's with us tonight, and he and Bill Keepus will be teaming up. And at the close of the broadcast, or close of the service, we'll be giving you a little challenge. Now, don't look too worried. It's not a long message. But we want you to really enjoy the music. And we thank you for George Whitaker. He's been setting up all the sound system so you want to hear it. So I present Elder Murray to you and the missionary cantata, Go Ye Forth.
Never before have there been so many open doors and so many opportunities for the proclamation of the gospel around the world and to our friends right next door. When we think about the world in which we live and its needs, the task of evangelism can overwhelm us. But when we begin to look at our own world right around us, we see that God has put within our grasp the message which will meet the need of every one of our family, friends, and neighbors. Our prayer is that the music tonight will challenge and stir the hearts of God's people to reach the lost right where we live. So often we are prone to think that the Great Commission is just for those who give their lives for overseas service. But the Great Commission, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature, is for every Christian. Our Lord did not give this task to angels. He gave it to each one of us. Yes, we are His witnesses. He has no other plan. When He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And said he unto the disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Thank you. Father, all more give them the gospel? Why should they die in their sin? Tell them, oh, tell them of Jesus. They are so burdened within. Long have they waited in the darkness, waited for someone to go. Long have they sought in their blindness, Jesus the Savior to know.
Thank you. vision of the earth. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?
And how can they preach unless they are sent?
How beautiful are the feet, golden green for truth.
Just how often must we hear Great Commission. Have you shared his word with someone yet today?
Thank you.
Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
We are your friends, Mary, Virgin. number is entitled, Just Tell Me Where, Lord. The words go like this. Just tell me where you want me to go. Just tell me what you want me to do. For when your hand is leading me on, I know you're in control. And I thank the Lord tonight as my personal testimony that he has been in control of my life before I was born, physically. That he predestined the parents that I would have, that I was raised in a wonderful, loving, godly home, and I thank the Lord for that. But I also know that even though I was raised in that home, I needed to ask his forgiveness for my sins. Personally, no one else could do that for me. And I thank the Lord that as a little girl, he came into my life and into my heart and cleansed me and took care of me during all these years when it's been very tempting to stray many, many times. The words of this song mean an awful lot to me as I've watched the way that he has led me every day. And one little comment that I've always loved that my mother shared with me many years ago was, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Doesn't mean the way is not hurtful. Doesn't mean the way will not be maybe full of disease or pain or sorrow. But he knows what's best for each of us. And I just thank him for that provision in my life, and that that is extended to every single one of you here tonight. Listen as we share these words from our hearts. Dear Lord, some years ago, I made a promise to follow. I said I'd give my life, my all to your service, and trust you whatever might be. But as the years passed, my heart grew so hard and so cold. I'd forgotten that promise. So now I kneel before your throne and I pray, Lord, take my life for service today. Just tell me where you want me to go, dear Lord. Tell me what you want me to do.
To me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the age. You are witnesses. I have no other plan.
He left the job for us to do. Again.
tonight for the presentation of Ye Are My Witnesses. I want to have just a few words as we close. By this time, I believe you know that the Murrays are a missionary family. On Monday, our son-in-law, Michael Aramick, will be coming from Germany. And we will meet him in the afternoon, and then all of the George Murray family, except George, because George tonight is in Holland. Then he goes to England, and then he goes to Sweden. But all that are remaining of the Murray family, the George Murray family, and Michael Aramick of the Sarah Murray family, and Grandpappy and Grandmommy will be all together for dinner, and then right down the street, the Rainier family, with Margaret and Rick and three precious children. I wish all of you could be there, but we are struggling to get all of them in our little apartment at one time. But it'll be a wonderful, wonderful night. It's always wonderful to be with folks who are doing what God Almighty wants them to do. Now, next week, on Wednesday night, we begin a 5-day crusade at North Annville in Pennsylvania, not very far from here, and 1 week from tonight, we present another concert. And I just received word that the pastor has had 3 days in the Hershey Medical Center, and his board and his family have commanded him to exit while that crusade is going on. So I will not have a Carl Martin with me during the crusade next week. It's been a marvelous privilege to work with Carl and to catch his vision of what God wants to do here. So I want you to pray for me, that God will bless the Corilliers and bless all of my helpers all next week, because we have a very, very full program. And then we come back for the next week, and Sarah, who also, by the way, plays the piano very well, and her two children will be coming home from Germany. We live in this atmosphere all the time. Now, I have a prayer request before I give you a thought tonight. This very week may well determine the go-ahead of the building permit to construct our new evangelistic center in Hatfield. Now, some of you have visited the old one, the Hatfield Hospitality House. But you'll remember we turned that over to the Bible Christian Union. They have 240 missionaries. And I read a thrilling letter this afternoon of what God is doing in the BCU. And the general director of the BCU is George Murray. So therefore, I want you to pray that this week, now that's not too much to ask, we've been working on it for months. This week, it'd be a great victory after this series of meeting if the township would clear us for a building permit, we could go right to work. Then all of you from time to time could come down to seminars we are going to be conducting in our enlarged living room, in our lovely basement family room. That ought to be constructed in 6 months, and it's been so nice to see some of you from Spring City. Well, we're trying to build another one so we can welcome you there, and you'll catch the vision of what's going on in Bible evangelism. Now, in thinking tonight, I thought of those words which you've already heard. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? These are the words of Isaiah 6:8. Then I said, here am I. Send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Now this great sixth chapter of Isaiah begins with a very striking note, very interesting to me. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord.
Now we have to go back and do just a little bit of research. You may not know who King Uzziah was, but he was one of the great kings in the land of that day. He began reigning when he was 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years. And I have a whole chapter of 2 Chronicles 26 of all the marvelous things that King Uzziah did. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. This is one of those great good kings of the Old Testament. This chapter tells of his wonderful building and that his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. He built tower after tower. And among the officers of his army, he had 2,600. Just the officer. And after that, 307,500 troops. And he was a very much blessed and honored king. But as I read through Isaiah, or in Isaiah, as well as in the book of Chronicles, I read something rather sad about Uzziah. Because the Bible tells us that he was marvelously helped until he became strong. Now I'm speaking to older people now. This man had a fantastic career. But suddenly, he tried to take the place of the priest. He was forbidden because he was not anointed of the Lord to be a priest. And he was challenged by the priest. And Uzziah, when he was challenged, he became very angry with the priest. And when he did, leprosy broke out on his forehead as a judgment from God. You know, it's one thing to look at years of great success. Then suddenly something happened. Uzziah became disobedient. And because of his leprosy, until the day of his death, he dwelt in an isolated house. That was God's judgment. And so if you had been in the land in that day, you would have seen God's judgment upon a disobedient king. This must have been very, very meaningful to Isaiah. You see, the great revivals under Hezekiah had passed. The great revivals under Josiah had passed. This was an evil day. May I remind you that we in America today are living in an evil day? I wish I could stand up here and tell you of all the tremendous revival movements going on in the world. I'm going to save a little bit of that till tomorrow morning. I've just had a marvelous report from Africa of simply untold thousands of people who've come to Christ. But we're not living in that kind of a day in America. We're living in a day of the outbreak of Christian leadership into sin. And this very, very much touched the life of Isaiah. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. This is the vision of Isaiah. He had just seen the judgment of God because of the lack of holiness of a once great, great king. Now he has a vision of the holiness of God himself. I wonder if you've ever had that vision. What was the reaction to the man we call the golden-mouthed Isaiah? Hear it. He cried, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Here is a brilliant, marvelous Christian worker, greatly used of God. His book is renowned in the Scriptures, the book of Isaiah. But we see his cleansing. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" God is looking for people who realize their own sinfulness, compare it with God's utter and absolute holiness, and come to the place of utter humility. Now this may sound like I'm speaking in a missionary convention. No, no. If you listen to all of the words of the choir tonight, every blood-bought believer in this auditorium has a responsibility to go forth and tell, whether it's across the street or in the next town or across the sea. And once that vision of holiness gripped Isaiah, his ears were opened. "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" The answer was, "Here am I. Send me." And the Lord said, "Go and tell this people." And he commissioned Isaiah. I'm particularly interested in my closing remarks, whether we're even hearing what God is saying. If I had to make a judgment, and thank God I don't have to, most believers in this room are planning to stay in the status quo, but willing to go. But the emphasis is on planning to stay. I would like to see a Zinzendorf congregation where hundreds went out to evangelize. It lives on yet. Where most of the people in that great church of the Moravian Revival had just the opposite. They were planning to go, but willing to stay. There's a tremendous difference between planning to stay and willing to go.
and planning to go. But what is that? I want the attitude of this crowd tonight to be reflected in the voices of the choraleers, with the attitude of planning to go. I've seen enough talent in this congregation during this week of meetings to see actual places where they could be greatly used of God in many places in the world. And I have been many places in the world. And I'm the one now in late age to be saying, planning to stay and willing to go. I don't have that attitude. I want to go. And we're going all the time. And God is doing some very wonderful things. So with that thought in our mind tonight, capping this wonderful concert, I'll ask you a penetrating question. Are you in the attitude planning to go? Now, if you're not supposed to go, God will stop you. But God can't find enough people to go. Out where Margaret, Rick, and Mick in the choir served in Africa. I remember a doctor, a brilliant doctor, one of the great missionary doctors of our time. But he was so talented that he was also a builder. And it really wasn't too much trouble to get other doctors to come to do the medical work. He had to stop doing medical work and just do building. And the country of Kenya accepted his great brilliance in building. And I could name many other fields planning to go. I hope you don't miss it. I did. And even though he was told that only 1/10 of the people would listen to what he had to say, but Isaiah was obedient. He planned to go, and he did. And God greatly used him. Let's just bow for prayer. Lord, we're really tonight on holy ground. As we go back to the history of the beginning of Faith Bible Fellowship Church, there were saints of God who gave and who sacrificed and who worked to bring it to the place that it is now. But oh, God forbid that we have built a place for ourselves and not for these all around us who are lost. Give us that spirit of planning to go. We have just been delighted with families, and we could see them in places where God would greatly use them. Lord, do something in hearts tonight. Speak to many hearts. May they make those moves which will be necessary to get started. May their ears be open to listen.